Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, here's a question you won't hear asked anywhere else. Friel, maybe that should tell you something. Hey, this is Wretched Radio. Here's the question no other Christian talk show has dared to consider. The question is, what doth, that's for all of our fundamentalist Baptist friends, what doth Taylor Swift, who all of our fundamentalist Baptist friends probably don't know about, what doth, ask the question, what doth Taylor Swift have to do, what doth Taylor Swift, I'm actually getting agitated with myself now.
Just say hath to do.
What hath she to do with Jim Jones? There, I put it out there, and now we're going to tackle it. You say, why would we be comparing inexplicably popular pop singer with a guy who was a cult leader? Because they're both tapping into the same zeitgeist. They identified a problem, something that is causing people angst. They are stirred about this subject. And then they claim to put their finger on it to say, I'm with you on this. Taylor Swift is doing that with her apparently thoughtful lyric, F-bomb the patriarchy. That's right. F-bomb the patriarchy. Of course, coming from a woman who is, I think she's a billionaire now. On every magazine cover, I don't know. I haven't been to the grocery store in a bit. We've been Costco-ing. So please keep praying for us because it's scary in there. At the grocery store when I was there last, maybe a couple of weeks ago, she was in every single magazine. Poor girl, suffering, being oppressed like that, driving around in a private plane. That's right, I said driving around in a private plane. Tours, fawning, adulation. The poor girl being kept down by the patriarchy. And people are gobbling it up. Why? Because that's the mood. That's what people think these days. It's all about the patriarchy and white European cisgendered. I think that's what we are. Is that right, cisgender?
I think that's normal.
Can we just say heterosexual? Is that or is that like a bad word now that you can't use on university campuses unless somebody get damaged? The white European heterosexual male is the scapegoat for everything bad and the excuse for deconstructing everything. And so Taylor Swift, despite the fact that she has hardly been oppressed, she could argue, well, I've had to scratch and claw to get to the top. And who doesn't? That's the way the world works. She's merely tapping into how people are feeling to make more money. And by the way, not the bee asked a, I think, a very fair question. With this lyric, F-bomb the patriarchy, how are the folks at the Gospel Coalition and Christianity Today feeling about their support of Taylor Swift? You may recall, here's one headline. This is from October 2023 in the Gospel Coalition. 7 things Christians can learn from Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. Wow. Hold on. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. The gospel in Taylor Swift lyrics. Really? That was from the Gospel Coalition. Christianity Today claimed Barbie and Taylor Swift are bringing us together. Well, they would probably join, whoever wrote these things, would probably join the chorus of F-bomb the patriarchy. It's working because that's what people are feeling. Let's go back in time and revisit Jim Jones, National Geographic, an article titled The Perfect Storm That Led to the Jonestown Massacre. I began to read it and I found myself going, I didn't know that. Okay, Jimmy, What political persuasion was Jim Jones?
I believe he was a Republican.
Uh-huh. And what was his economic posture? Was he a capitalist, socialist, communist? What was he?
Was he a capitalist?
Yeah. All right, here's the article. You can be surprised like I was. I didn't think about it. It's like, yeah. He was a cult leader who had people drink poison Kool-Aid. But I didn't know more than that. Jones preached what so many Americans long to hear. This is National Geographic. Young radicals disillusioned by establishment politics and the Vietnam War applauded the socialist principles he promoted at his church. Well, 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 that's an interesting disclosure. Not only did much of Jones' work take on civil rights issues, he modeled traditional black worship styles, touted his adopted black and Korean children, and even claimed he himself was black, which today you can do and get away with it, I guessed. Jim Jones opened what would become the People's Temple in Indiana in 1954. There again, I'm not by any means a Jim Jones student, clearly. I thought he was a California guy. It was Indiana. The People's Temple drew from socialism, what? Communism, and Christianity, well, sort of, to promote equality and attract a multiracial congregation. He proselytized with a showman's panache and used faith healing. Oh, to attract followers. That's another way to get people to follow you. Now, you promise that you're going to take care of their physical maladies. That is a very powerful offer, isn't it? But Jim Jones was tapping into the spirit of the age, the rebellious. Hey, this we've got to blow up this capitalism thing. We need equality. And people hear that and it resonates with them. More from the article. Jones is never really know how to do a possessive when a name ends with an S. Jones is correct. And by the way, have you noticed that that gets treated differently with Jesus? Jesus, sometimes sometimes you hear people say Jesus's sandals. Sometimes it's a double, sometimes it's not Jesus sandals. Jones's is charisma and vision attracted the attention of some of the country's most visible activists, including Jane Fonda and Huey P. Newton. I don't know what a Huey P. Newton is. Founder of the Black Panther movement. Oh. They all love Jim Jones. He also won the support of the political establishment in San Francisco. Oh, here it is, where he moved his church in 1965. I feel vindicated. There he met Rosalind Carter, who was so enthralled with Jones, she went on to speak from his pulpit. Of course she did. The two also had dinner together and exchanged letters. Harvey Milk fawned over Jones's his work, and politicians courting voters often turned up at the People's Temple. Jim Jones gained a following by tapping into the angst, the agitated ones. After a series of reports debunked Jones' faith healing, that ain't hard to do, although these days, wow, the defense of these silly street healers. Well, they don't heal the road. They heal people out on the streets. After he was debunked and accused of abuse, Jones started believing these were signs that America was out to get the People's Temple and him. Drug use fueled his paranoia that the U.S. government would target the church or turn fascist. 1974, the People's Temple bought land in the jungle of Guyana. Why? He thought it would be perfect for a multiracial utopia, to create an agricultural commune where members could live out their values with total equality, with him on top, of course, of the total equality utopian socialist agenda. Remember, we're all equal. Some of us are just more equal than others. Black members made up 68% of Jonestown's total population. The commune was also predominantly youthful, with 63% of the population 35 or younger and 152 children under the age of 12. And in the remains, Taylor Swift cassette tapes were found. Okay, I added that last part. The man who preached the gospel of equality anointed himself ruler of his kingdom in the jungle, hoarded everyone's passports, preventing them from leaving. Well, this would be the definition of a cult. Residents couldn't date or break up without his approval. This is what happens in socialism. There's always going to be someone or an army that tells everybody what to do and controls minutia. Punishments included social ostracism, and according to witnesses, he bound children in the forest and wrapped a snake around a woman's leg, and there's more details that we don't need to pollute our minds with. What do we learn from all of this? At least two lessons. Number one, cult leaders, popular figures that look to deconstruct, always tap into angst. That would encourage us to be a loud voice in the public arena of ideas because we have truth to speak into the darkness. Second, you would do well to start teaching your kids where different economic systems come from, where different political ideologies come from, and teach them what the Bible has to say, lest they become victim to a Kool-Aid offering cult leader or Taylor Swift. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of eight new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian ethics and public theology. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, the Masters Academy International, it's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. If you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that if and you want to at wretched.org/pastor.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this, later this year, eight brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the eight brilliant minds that will be joining us.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe, because we have the internet and we can, to bring you the constant variety, mostly of the stuff you send to idea@wretched.org, but unfortunately, there's a little bit of a kink in the hose. There's tons of good stuff that gets sent, but sometimes those stories don't fit together, so what do? We put them into a pile. We play an outdated theme song and call this Wide World of Christian Stories. I am so impressed with myself. I nailed that post. Now it doesn't count. I've already received my reward as I pat myself on the back. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, let's go to Pakistan, shall we? A fellow's been set on fire because he desecrated the Quran. This is apparently a little Islamic nationalism going on, which they've been about actually since the genesis of the religion of peace. This fellow was taken into police custody and then taken by a mob. The mosques blared on their loudspeakers, come and gather and storm the police station. So they did. They set the police station on fire. Then they sent him on fire. Well, after shooting him, of course, because, hey, they're not cruel like that. And did you know that's typically the way so many of the martyrs died? Because the martyrs would be put to a stake. They wanted to set them on fire, but they would preach until the flames consumed them. So what did the Roman Catholic Church do? We got to kill them first. So typically they were strangled. Tyndale, I believe, was strangled by chains. Then they set him on fire and blew up his body to make sure that fellow had no more influence. Fail, because the King of England's eyes were opened. And his work, which had him on the lam in Europe, the King of England said, sure, we'll have an English Bible. Wah in law, the Tyndale Bible, and wah in law, the English language codified thanks to Tyndale. This is nothing new, that people who are being persecuted for their faith are killed and then set ablaze. To the Islamic Republic, we know it as Iran, the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, stating that maintaining hijab wearing was of utmost importance, and he sickened them their morality police on people to make sure women are wearing their hijabs. And in other breaking news, university protests on American campus that are hysterical about the fact that women in these Islamic nations are being suppressed and have to wear a hijab. Jimmy, go ahead and share some of those stories.
I've got so many.
Okay, just one. You got one?
I don't know which one to share.
You got nothing, because no. There are no protests. The feminists are mum when it comes to the treatment of Islamic women. Even in this country, honestly, can you imagine the outrage, the vocal protestations of Christians in America if they demanded their women cover everything but a slit in their eyes? But not a word for the religion of peace. Why? Because they're allies. They're both on the side of darkness. And you got to be careful. This would actually work. Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees accusing Jesus of doing his miracles by the power of the Lord of the dunghill, Beelzebul. And Jesus, using just like a thimbleful of logic, would just refuted it completely. Now, if I'm from the devil, why would I be casting out demons? I'd be going to war against myself. Instead, you get rid of the strong man who's guarding the house so that you can storm it and take it over. Jesus refuted them. So it was just kind of just like that, because their accusation was about as desperate as it could possibly be. They were it was undeniable. It was unmistakable. That these miracles could only be done by the Messiah, by God himself. They knew it, and they denied it. Which, by the way, just as an aside, going to be preaching on this in 2 weeks at Alpharetta Bible Church, just saying, that Jesus addresses the sin of the Holy Spirit, which has caused a great deal of consternation among far too many believers that think, oh no, I said this or thought this about God. I've committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. The context makes it clear. I don't even think you can commit the sin of the Holy Spirit today, because the context colors what Jesus was saying. He was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious oppressors, which, by the way, not unlike what is going on in these Islamics, forcing people to abide by the religious rules of the day. And these individuals saw Jesus performing, they saw it. In other words, they knew it. So Jesus said, look, you can sin against me all you want, it's forgiven. But if you know that I am the Messiah and you reject it, you're sinning against the Holy Spirit and you ain't going to heaven. And that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. It is specifically seeing the miracles of Jesus and denying that he is the Christ, which is the sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean that there isn't some form of a sin against the Holy Spirit today? Well, in a sense, there is, because if you study the Bible, you hear sermons, and you're putting it together and going, huh, it looks like Jesus is the Messiah, but you reject it, that would be a form of rejecting the Holy Spirit, but that's probably where the confusion has come in. That I just say something bad about Jesus, or I think something wrong about God, therefore I'm disqualified from the kingdom. In Matthew 12, that's not what is happening. Today, the individual who commits the sin against the Holy Spirit is anybody really who rejects the Christ. Their sins can't be forgiven because they're not born again. So if you've been concerned, perhaps, that you've committed the sin against the Holy Spirit and it grieves you that maybe you said or thought something about Jesus that is like, you haven't committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the East. Shall we? An assembling of quotes. This is courtesy of the Gateway Pundit. In response to the kids on the campuses who are protesting for Hamas. They're not protesting against the treatment of Hamas toward its people. Oh, no. They are supporting Hamas. And there's an organization called the Queers for Palestine. They blocked the exit to Disney World in Florida while chanting, Free Palestine, Free Palestine. Some quotes for their consideration. This is from an imam stating, the Palestinian people will not allow a single homosexual on our land. Such perversion brings the wrath of Allah on us all. That was from July 6, 2022. Quote, our Muslim Palestinian people will not accept a single homosexual openly declaring his abomination. Will you allow a single homosexual on the land of Jerusalem and Palestine? Will you allow that? No. Our people will not allow there to be institutions that promote this abomination on the blessed and pure land of Palestine. Apparently, that quote has not reached the campuses of America. This is Palestinian Islamic scholar Sheikh Yusuf Abu. Maybe his last name is Islam. Homosexuals should be thrown off rooftops, stoned to death. Allah will punish us like Sodom if we don't fight this abomination. So the key word apparently is abomination here. Allah punished male and female adulterers only with flogging or stoning. But when he decided to punish homosexuals, he said they should be thrown headfirst from the rooftop of the tallest building, and then they should be stoned from the top. That from The Religion of Peace. Let's go to India, shall we? Did you know that Hindu nationalism is on the rise? Courtesy of their prime minister, not the president, the prime minister. His name is Narendra Modi, who has a history of supporting Hindu nationalism, making Hinduism the religion of the state, returning India to its Hindu roots prior to the colonization of the West. And he is growing in popularity, and he is making life very hard for anybody who does not practice the religion of Hinduism. Ask your Christian missionary friends in India. things getting easier, they're going to tell you it's getting hard and scary and really, really dangerous. It's always been a bit dangerous, but now it's really, really getting dangerous, especially for Muslims. Don't know if you're familiar with this fellow. The Guardian did an article on him tracing his history. Do you know much about the Prime Minister of India? According to The Guardian, he's about the business of promoting historic Hindu civilizational greatness. That's what he's about. Democratic backsliding, growing authoritarianism, crony capitalism, the erosion of freedom of the media, freedom of judicial independence, attacks on secularism, liberal institutions, civil society, a publicly condoned Islamophobia, and growing state-sponsored persecution of minorities, primarily India's 200 million Muslims. Zoinks, Scoob. Please pray for the Christian missionaries in India. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.